think for most of my life, I didn't know words to communicate with. I often left people wondering what in the world I was talking about, not to mention my own frustration at wondering why I felt so misunderstood. Our intentions are communicated in words as well as actions, and if we only act, not allowing anyone our words, the silence of our mouths propels the exclusion of others, the very relationships we desperately need. When we want to communicate our ideas and thoughts to others, we've got to learn to communicate, to position ourselves as someone others want to engage with. We must learn to articulate utterance. The listener only actually knows what's going on in our minds when they hear us express ourselves in audible words. If we don't give them words, then we are subject to them filling in the blanks with only what they've imagined, which may not go too well if you know what I mean. Sure, we can surmise and maybe even accurately speculate what's going on with someone. But when they actually put words to it, then we've got something to go on. We may have the impulse to direct someone to turn left or right, or ask a friend to deliver food. But it's really not enough to simply grunt at people and point. We must communicate our thoughts to them. With God, He has a number of individual ways through which He communicates His will. When His will is carried out, it is described as His utterance. One utterance from Him caused light to come into being. Another produced heaven and earth in all its fullness, and yet another generated animal and human life, and yet another generated animal and human life, and so on and so on. You get the picture. There is a difference between God's utterances when He presented the Ten Commandments and when He inclines His heart towards us. I've been told that the Ten Commandments had to be heard, which involved a crescendo of sound, which even to this day, we all hear and are still moved. Many times the Lord doesn't speak to us with vocal cords, mouth, and tongue, but He speaks. In the sense that a voice and words are heard, as in saying, "He made me to know." When we speak, our voice only runs just so far before the momentum of our breath just falls to the ground. When God speaks, it does not stop being said, whether it's through circumstances or actual vocalization. It does not cease. We can pretend we are powerful enough to set prophetic markers in the earth, but without His voice, our markers quickly fade and fall. I believe that in the time of creation, there was no need for anyone to hear, and it's the truth. No human being existed that was capable of hearing. So, in light of that, His utterance was simply that His will became reality. His answer, whether by vision, provision, or direct reply, is an utterance. Incidentally, vision is seeing, insight, and understanding, and provision is anything He gives which supports the advancement of the vision. His appointments and biddings are His utterance. His promises and pronouncements are His utterances. The Lord's subduing of His enemies, His teaching, telling, and ideas communicated to us are His utterances. God is not silent. I believe it is us who aren't catching His drift. In Psalm 62:11, it says, "God has spoken, twice I heard." The Hebrew word for spoken doesn't mean words given once in the past or as a plural verb, but in the sense of dual action. It is spoken and then comes again unceasing. The word heard is used in a complementary sense that God's utterance was heard and heard again. Like saying, God said, He very said, and I heard, then I really heard what I heard. In Genesis 1 verse 3, when the Lord uttered or spoke, the idea that His speaking is also called a calling. Whatever the Lord calls, becomes. God's voice is the only voice to which all things obey. More than a few times, I've felt powerful and very spiritual, and in an effort to prove my power to myself, I walked outside, and in my most commanding voice, I uttered, "Mountains be thou removed into the sea." Of course, in my very best King James English, in order to sound as authentic as possible. I was taking it seriously, what Jesus said in Matthew 21:21, and I was feeling pretty full of myself. Upon yelling that at the mountain, well, nothing happened. In my heart, I found myself thinking, "Yeah, I didn't think so." Years later, the Lord spoke to me being His slightly self-important, thinking more highly of Himself than He should, son, and asked me why I thought the mountain didn't move. I had to reply, "Only You know, Lord." He made me to know that it was because His voice was not in my voice for that occasion, and the mountain only responds to His utterance. What do you think?